A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 478. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about The Omega Factor, Big Finish Audios. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
There were three Big Finish series or box sets based on The Omega Factor that ran from 2015 through 2018. With each one being a 4-episode box set plus an extra behind-the-scenes disc of extras. And then in 2023, they came back and released a movie-length audio drama, an audio movie called The House That Wasn't Haunted. And this is a continuation of the 1979 BBC series that we covered in British Invaders 23 and 24. Back in 2008.
All those years ago.
Yes, indeed.
When we talked about the TV show. So, The Omega Factor follows the work of the mysterious government Department 7 as they investigate paranormal phenomena. All the while, they're dealing with some personal stuff as well. They're sort of the threats as to whether or not their work will continue. Dr. Reynolds is dealing with her age and approaching retirement. And, of course, Adam Dean, who is Tom Crane's son from the original series, is dealing with his own psychic abilities, which he finds deeply disturbing. And I do like that in this series, that having psychic gifts seems to be more of a curse than a blessing, Brian. It doesn't seem to go well for people who have these talents.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And being involved in Department 7 and all of the things they deal with takes a toll on people. It really seems to take a toll on everyone over time, which is also an interesting take on these kinds of things. And we have Dr. Anne Reynolds with her struggles to convince the man from the ministry that their work is vital and the department should not be shut down.
Indeed. And of course, the man from the ministry has his own agenda as well, which develops as we get into the second and third box sets and even into the movie version.
Yes, for sure. In series 3, there are some sinister developments with an app that's being developed for, I think, computers and phones. A young woman with some intense psychic powers is involved, and we find strange things happening beneath the streets of Edinburgh. And the mysterious Morag will appear to warn Department 7, and her allegiances are not clear, and we get this warning that maybe Department 7 is playing with something that's too big for any of them to handle.
Very much so. And of course, we've also got this audio movie, The House That Wasn't Haunted, in which time has moved on for Department 7. Dr. Reynolds has made the decision that she is going to retire. Adam Dean has sort of struck out on his own and is in fact the host of a paranormal podcast show, which certainly gave me a little sort of chuckle, Brian. There's a few of those around.
Yes, and I love the fact that, you know, it had been 5 years since the previous Omega Factor release. I love that they reflected that, and after the big gap in time between the original series and the Big Finish version, they had another gap in time here that separates those, and that was, I think, quite effective.
Yes, it's nice that they allow for the passage of time in these series at Big Finish. And of course, it wouldn't be a movie-length episode if the government didn't somehow lure Dr. Reynolds and Adam back to investigate what happened at the mysterious Hawthorne House. the house of the title. So they're back in the field for one more big investigation, and it's quite exciting stuff. And I did like that the movie version near the start features, you can hear it, a sort of slideshow presentation that the team are watching about the history of Hawthorne House. And I noted that as a feature of the original show in 1979 when we covered it.
Yes, that's right. And after this sort of little extra passage of time, we get more of that sense of dealing with all of these things has an effect on people, and they're all feeling sort of a bit worn down and tired coming into this, which I think is an interesting take on it, that dealing with these strange, unexplained things and supernatural things is hard and takes that toll on people.
Indeed.
So talking a bit more about Big Finish, they are best known for their Doctor Who audio dramas and their spin-offs of Doctor Who of various types using various characters. That has been the mainstay of things they've been doing since 1999, and they're still very active with that, with lots of original cast members from the classic series and also from the new series, with lots of the Doctors and Companions, with some recasting for actors who have passed away, but with a lot of the original actors reprising their roles and doing voices. And this has been quite successful and has been the main venture for Big Finish. And I'll admit that I may be a bit addicted to some of that.
You're the big Finish fan here, Brian.
I guess so, yeah.
And as you say, over the years, they've been able to continue adventures from other great TV series, and we've covered a few of those. Notably, I remember we've done Sapphire and Steel on audio, Blake 7, and Survivors we've covered, if you look at our back catalogue. And one of the interesting things that stands out, as you said, Brian, is how they use different methods to sort of recreate the sort of essence of the originals. Sometimes they've got original actors who can sort of recreate the voices of their younger selves. And so therefore, on audio, you can have the characters being the same age as when we saw them on television.
When they do that, they're sort of inserting new episodes into the middle of things between the original episodes, which we see on Doctor Who and Blake 7 audios, for instance.
Indeed. Very cleverly done. But they've also, as you say, Brian, they use other techniques sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. They certainly have done some recasting for actors who are no longer with us, or for actors who have chosen not to be involved. So we get things like Sapphire and Steel, where we had new actors there, and also for things like Adam Adamant Lives, they did that as a sort of reboot with new actors, and they changed things around a bit. So they have a variety of things there. We mentioned Survivors, where there they were sort of inserting episodes in between, and then would also have some that would take place after the series. So they do a variety of things there. With the Omega Factor, they decided to set it in the present day, so there would be a 35-year gap between the television episodes and the audio episodes. And Louise Jameson has talked about how she liked being able to play her own age rather than a younger version of herself.
Yeah, I think that's a very nice feature here. As she said, she can play her own age. She can have parts of the episodes where she talks about being an older woman, particularly, you know, where there is parts of the government trying to possibly retire her, but she's also trying to relate to young students and so on. And it's also nice that they've introduced then a younger character in the shape of Adam, who continues the work of Tom Crane, played by James Hazeldine in the original TV show. Of course, sadly, James Hazeldine no longer with us. It sort of reminded me, we did some audio bumper adverts for the podcast years and years ago, Brian, where we talked about different TV and film properties and how they responded or dealt with the problem of actors who were no longer available.
Yes, that's right. It is a little bit like that. They have a bunch of things they're doing. Very often, Big Finish is adapting a show that's from decades earlier, not just a few years earlier. So you get situations with that. And in this case, a number of the actors from the original had passed away. And with this gap, they had Dr. Ann Reynolds effectively in the position that another character, Roy Martindale, was in the original show. So she's been promoted to the next level up. And instead of the psychic character Tom Crane being someone she would have a romantic relationship with, now Adam Dean is the son of someone she had had a romantic relationship with. And there's a more colleague slash friend slash hints of mother-son type relationship going on there, and mentor relationship. So it gives you something very different there. And as Louise Jameson has talked about, it gives you an interesting role for an older woman and also a woman in, you know, a position of authority, which she was not in as much in the original run.
Interesting way of doing it. Very good.
So I think that leads us to talk about some of her own thoughts more than we already have. So, Eamon, what did you like about the Omega Factor on the Big Finish audios?
So I think there's an awful lot to like about the Omega Factor at the Big Finish. I think the concept of the show itself, the Omega Factor, is right up my street, a paranormal investigation show with an ongoing, slowly building conspiracy thread. That is great stuff. And so I think having that concept and then being able to continue it with an acknowledgement of the 35-year gap is great up front. And I really like that, Brian.
Yeah, that was certainly good. It was well done. I will say that the writing in this is very strong, and it gives us both single episodes and ongoing stories that are very compelling and very intense and helps bring that sort of paranormal, supernatural horror aspect there on audio.
Yeah, I think they're very well written. I think they get even better as it goes along. The direction of it all, I mean, as we've come to expect from Big Finish, the production values, the way the episodes are directed and edited and sound designed is all really good.
Yeah. So where this stands out from many of the other Big Finish productions is that they get to build an ongoing story and sort of change that world. They're not constrained by what has already happened, that they're putting something in the middle. This has happened with some other Big Finish things as well, for sure. But in this case, I think they really took advantage of having full control of this new era of the Omega Factor, and they did the lovely job of building that ongoing saga that lasts for a few seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really nice feature of it that works really well. And as you say, Brian, they don't have to worry about having to squeeze this in to an existing canon or continuity. They can just say, oh yeah, 35 years have passed and this is where Department 7 is now. So that works really well. And then, of course, we've got a wonderful cast to back it all up, haven't we?
Yes. The cast is very solid. Louise Jameson is excellent in everything she does, so it's not surprising that that very good role that she would have a such an interesting take on the older version. But Natasha Gerson, who has quite a different role from what it was originally, she does a lovely job, and everyone they brought in was very well cast. I think Alan Cox did a lovely job as Doyle, as being this sort of slightly creepy character they have to deal with, who goes through a lot and changes and develops a lot through the run.
Yeah, everybody's doing great work, as you say, all the way down through the cast. We get some very sinister performances. We get people, characters who are not entirely sure of their motivations until much later in the series, which is great. We have a few contenders to be the sort of the villains of the piece. The way that's kept sort of concealed but hinted at as we go along, I thought was really well done.
We also have some really top-notch sound design in this. We always have good sound design with the sound effects and the stereo soundscaping and so on. We always have that in Big Finish. But in this case, it was really effective and they pulled out all the stops and making it scary. And yeah, it was very well done. To the point where I would say this is not one to listen to on your own in the dark at the end of the day. It's too intense for that.
It is a creepy one, which is good. And I'll mention Nick Briggs composing the music. I've forgotten that Nick Briggs is a talented composer on top of everything else he does at Big Finish.
Yeah, his specialty in music, at least in more recent years, including this, is adapting the style of music from a particular era to audio. So doing things like reviving the sound of the John Pertwee era Doctor Who episodes, for instance, and doing things like that. And yeah, he did some of that with this, with sort of that bringing back an era and updating it a bit and doing these things to help make it scary.
I'll also add that I love that it's still set in Edinburgh and it's still a Scottish show. So I love that of it. I like that about the original. I like that here.
Yeah, the original was produced by BBC Scotland and that gave us something different. You know, there were shots in the original in the Scottish hills that you wouldn't get in the London BBC show. But yes, they definitely kept that and that was nice.
Any particular favourite episodes or series that you wanted to just mention, Brian?
That is an interesting one. There's a lot that I like in here. As a standalone, I really do like The House That Wasn't Haunted and I liked how it did that revival. But for this show, I would say I'd want to go in order. So I think series one, I'll take not because it's better than the others, but because it does such a wonderful job of reviving this show and this concept.
Yeah, very, very good. Actually, to be able to, as you say, bring it into the present day, revive the concept and give us entertaining drama and continuation of Omega Factor. Like yourself, I love The House That Wasn't Haunted, but I'm going to pick out series three, episode one, Under Glass, which mixes together some history of photography, some Edinburgh lore, Robert Louis Stevenson's story, and it's got a touch of an M.R. James curse in there as well. And I love that combination of factors in the Omega Factor story.
Yes, that was very good. And it, when you list off all of the things involved, it sounds like there's too much, that the episode would be a mess, but it really isn't. It is a very tight one. So yeah, that's a good choice for singling one out.
Nice stuff. Now, we normally have a bads column. Did you have much in the cons against this show, Brian, on Big Finish?
I really don't. I really enjoyed this a lot. It harkens back to a slightly earlier era at Big Finish when they were doing four discs plus a disc of extras. So we have a lot in each one. I think it wraps up really well, and then the audio movie adds to it without compromising that, and also has it nicely wrapped up at the ending. So I don't really have negatives for this.
Right. Okay. I was slightly more into the individual episodes of individual investigations than perhaps the growing conspiracy ones. This is a problem I've had with other shows like The X-Files, where the conspiracy stuff starts to dominate. But on the whole, that was only a minor feeling on my part. I thought, now you're more current with Big Finish than I am, Brian. Are they, the pricing, is the pricing sort of fairly standard for Big Finish series?
This is pretty consistent with them.
Right.
The Big Finish audios are a bit expensive. They do have sales from time to time, which I would say watch out for on the website, or they have an email list you can get on. So yes, they certainly can be a bit expensive, but that's sort of the, unfortunately, the reality of producing things that are geared at fans rather than at a much bigger mass audience.
Yeah, I guess tough financial decisions for Big Finish always. But anyway, there you go. I think The House That Wasn't Haunted at £15 download, that seems to me as to be the bargain of the bunch, because that's such a great standalone, as it were, investigation, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm guessing it's nearly time for us to make our recommendations about The Omega Factor on Big Finish. What about you, Brian? How are you going to start us off?
Oh, I am absolutely going to recommend this. I listened to all of the full cast Omega Factor releases as they came out at the time, and I've come back and re-listened to all of them again, and I really enjoyed listening to them again more recently. It was all really well done. So I would say, whether you know the original series or not, you can enjoy this either way. There is that original novel that's available as an audiobook that gives you sort of a recap of that original show. But either way, I think if you enjoy supernatural or paranormal investigation shows, this is really well worth listening to, and I would recommend trying it out, getting in with series one.
Yeah, I'm also going to recommend The Omega Factor on audio. I think if you're looking for a spooky paranormal investigation show in audio drama, then this is the one to go for. I enjoyed it. I particularly enjoyed some of the more standalone investigations, as I've said. The House That Wasn't Haunted is also superlative and really good value at the moment. So yeah, it's a double thumbs up from us here on British Invaders for The Omega Factor on audio. But if you've listened to them, if you've compared them to the original TV show, then please get in touch and let us know what you think.
Absolutely, please do. So, in summary, The Omega Factor was a 1979 paranormal investigation show that ran for only 10 episodes on the BBC, but was much later revived by Big Finish in audio format. And we find our characters 35 years later, where Dr. Anne Reynolds is now in charge of Department 7, who does these paranormal investigations, and Adam Dean, the son of one of the characters from the original show, finds Dr. Anne Reynolds, and the two of them become the leads in this show and are working to uncover some of these paranormal mysteries and conspiracy issues. And that runs for 3 box sets with a mixture of standalone stories and ongoing elements, and concludes nicely at the end of Series 3, but is also followed up with this audio movie that adds to it and ends with a good conclusion as well.
Please tell us what you think.
Absolutely.
And please come back and join us next time when we turn back to television and we are looking at an adaptation of Mallory Blackman's novel Noughts and Crosses. Ran on the BBC in 2 series, 2020 and 2022, and loads to talk about when we come back.
Until then, you can find all of our episodes, including the older ones, at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there and join in on some of the discussions. You can also follow us on Threads and Instagram. We are British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, please give us a follow, and please come and join us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network, which you will find at vognetwork.com. Gaming, streaming, podcasting, all sorts of stuff going on at vognetwork.com for the Voice of Geeks.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. Until next time, Eamon in England signing off and saying the truth is still out there.